your finances on a higher power. Being good stewards of the financial resources God has bestowed upon each of us is the key to financial success in life. It's your finances on a higher power. Here's your host, Paula T. Webb.
Hello again, everyone. This week, I want to kind of continue a little bit on the conversation we had last week about moving forward and de-energizing any kind of past abuse or bullying. What I want to do is I want to explain something about how we do that first. And I want to share with you some techniques that have worked for me. Recently, you know, there have been women that have come forward in the last several years, come forward decades after some type of abuse or bullying or sexual abuse apparently happened to them. Some of the most recent ones are against a Hollywood producer, where these women came forward and, you know, made pretty strong allegations of being forced into sexual situations to get, parts in movies and that sort of thing. And, you know, I don't think it really came as such a surprise to the general public, because basically the, quote, casting couch has been in existence, you know, since Hollywood first started making movies. And I'm not laughing at that as a joke, but it's just a pretty well-known fact that it can and does happen in certain occasions. And the women that came forward, you know, decades later, had pretty good careers. They have a very wealthy lifestyle compared to the average person, say you or me. And it just was kind of interesting that they waited so long to come forward. Well, that's one instance. And then the next instance, of course, is a woman who came forward against an ex-president and claimed there was some sexual misconduct on his part. And in both of these cases, with the Hollywood producer, he was convicted. And although I guess the rape convictions recently were just overturned, but with the ex-president, he was... a judgment came against him to award this woman who came forward decades later, again, a check for $83 million. And in the case of the Hollywood producer, a lot of those women got large settlements as well into the millions. Now, I want to share with you, when all of this was happening, I kind of got a little annoyed, because first of all, the problem that I had with all of these situations, apart from the fact that sexual harassment or sexual, you know, abuse is still happening, is that these women came forward decades later after it all happened. And very few of those women could give exact details of what happened. They couldn't say what year it was. They said, well, it was between this year and that year. They certainly didn't know what month it was. They couldn't explain in detail what happened or where it happened in some cases. And I found that very troubling. And what it did was bring up a lot of my own, you know, unresolved feelings of not being heard after all this time. And I wondered, just how is it that these women can come forward and not give specific details, dates and times, when probably most of you out there, as well as myself, remember those exact details, and they walk away with tens of millions of dollars. Now, I share this because during that time, I also contacted the female attorney that was, you know, heading the case for these women against the Hollywood producer. And I asked for her help in my situation. And I gave her great detail as to what had transpired during the time I was abused. I sent her emails through her website. I sent her letters through the U.S. mail. I left voice messages at her firm, probably for about a 2-year period. And not once did that woman return my calls or even any of her staff, even to say, I'm sorry, you know, we're not interested in taking your case. And what bothered me about that most was that to this day, she gets up in front of the media and claims to be an advocate for women. Well, it's apparent that she is an advocate for women, but only certain women. And that's what bothered me. And then also, too, this woman who gets this $83 million judgment against the next president, she couldn't remember what year it happened, where it happened, or what exactly happened at all. So how is it that she's getting this judgment? So that kind of bothered me as well. Now, in my case, I'm not looking for a check from anyone. It's just that the inequity of this attorney stating that she is an advocate for women was untrue, is untrue. And the judge that awarded this $83 million payout has got to be out of his mind or her mind. I don't know who, whether it's a male or female. And basically, I still believe in the legal system, and I still believe that, you know, you're innocent until proven guilty. But how come someone can make claims that they can't even give specific details about and get a big fat check? I don't get it. I don't get it. And here, someone like myself and probably some of you out there listening are sitting there thinking, exactly, no one listened to me, no one believed me, or they did believe me, but they just told me to shut up. And here we are decades later, and we can still remember exact details. So it's kind of quite a set of conflicting beliefs here. We want to move past anything that's limiting our success. And yet here it was in the media, kind of throwing it back in our faces. And it's multi-dynamic, so stay with me here. The media was throwing this back in our faces, and it was pretty much being abused all over again. Because it blew my mind. I don't know about you, but it certainly blew my mind that only certain women could be heard. And it certainly wasn't me, or maybe you. And it was hard to reconcile that. And then I thought, okay, but this is also a positive way of looking at it, is that whatever negative energies that were still associated with the abuse that happened to me or any of you out there, this was a very good opportunity for us to take a look at that and to realize that maybe we still had some work to do. And that's okay. Did it make me, thrilled? No, it didn't. As a matter of fact, the whole thing really ticked me off quite a bit. But once I got through that, I just realized, sometimes the wealthy get a little more of a break than the rest of us. And that's just the way the world is. So we can take this opportunity, and I am looking at it as an opportunity now, although I really don't think very much of that woman attorney, I'll be honest with you. She's not a champion for women. She's not a woman's advocate. She's only an advocate for wealthy women and the type of women that are going to keep her name in lights as well. That's her prerogative. But the only issue I have with her now is that she does not and did not and never will speak for me. She will never be speaking for the average woman that has gone through any type of abuse or bullying. So in essence, her statement about being a champion of women's rights falls completely flat. So the takeaway from this discussion here today, before we move on to a little lighter topic, is that we can look at how we feel about the situation, if anything. And maybe some of you out there don't care. I'm just expressing what I am feeling and how I am working my way through these wealthy women already who came out decades later, couldn't give specific details, and they walked away with a big fat payout. We can look at this, if it affects you at all, we can look at it again as an opportunity to release more of the negative energy that we have surrounding any past abuse. So I had to take a good hard look at myself and say, okay, what am I still hanging on to? Why is this so annoying to me? Why does this still hurt my feelings? And doing some self-reflection in this area is always good. And maybe I was annoyed because I thought I was over it completely. Or maybe not completely, but at least maybe 90-95%. And when I found out I wasn't, I think I was a little annoyed with myself. But that's okay too, because when you're annoyed at yourself or you're upset about something, then you can take a look at what you're upset about and start working on it to clear it up and to clean it out even more so. So that's a good thing. So my point in this part of the segment is to wrap your brain around who you want to be. Do you want to have any degree of being a victim or a survivor? Or do you just want to be a beautiful human being who's living their life to the best of their ability? And only you can answer that in your own way. I answer it for me in my own way every single morning when I wake up. Because each day, absolutely, can be a new day free from anything negative holding us back. It can be a new day to give us everything that we dream of and want for the future. Because as the Buddha says, what we think, we become. So think about that as we head into the break, and I'll be back with more in a few moments. What we think, we become. Okay, we're back. So one other thing I just want to remind everybody is that I think each one of us that was abused felt humiliated after the fact when we took a look back at ourselves and we came to realize that whoever abused us viewed us simply as an object, a piece of property no different than a chair or a table. An object that they could use at their will. And I think that's kind of a certain percentage of what I had left to work on in myself. And I think that's why I felt angry at that female attorney and angry at the judge claiming that, you know, this is for all women when it was just for wealthy women. It wasn't for me because no one came to me. No one answered me. It didn't matter that I took polygraphs to prove what I said was right. Didn't matter that I kept a diary, you know, tracking everything. No one believed me. And to this day, still call me a liar. But the difference between people who have moved beyond this and people who haven't is I do not subscribe to the term that I'm a survivor. I'm not a victim. because by hanging on to those, either one of those terms, that means you would still be subscribing to what society and the abusers have branded us. And I will not allow myself to succumb to that. I'm not a survivor. I'm not a victim. Because what happened is just what was, not what is today. And it doesn't matter if society wants to call us any names, because they have no right to do that. Because by society saying, oh, okay, well, you should be proud of yourself because you survived that, they're just branding us again, just like the abusers and the bullies did. And then we become just an object that all the attorneys and the police and the priests and the family members years ago who didn't believe us, we just become another object that society can ignore. Now, with that said, when we no longer subscribe to being a victim or a survivor, when we no longer subscribe to those negative terms, that's when we begin to empower ourselves to move forward. When we choose to define ourselves as who we choose to be in this now moment, then we're no longer living in the past. We're living here, today, as who we are. Now, I know I said previously that, yes, having gone through certain events has certainly defined certain aspects of who I am, certain aspects of my powerful presence in the investment world, my ability to write best-selling books, my ability to grow my business after losing everything after my husband died and starting over. Yes, maybe that was part and parcel of who I am today. So if I can accomplish all of that, how does that make me a victim or a survivor? It doesn't. It makes me powerful, beautiful, smart, and a success. And no one can take that away from me. Just like you have to make up your mind that no one can take that away from you. And it doesn't matter what your career is. If you're a stay-at-home mom, hallelujah and God bless you. I couldn't do that. I was a stepmother. And trust me, that was about as far as I could go. That was really tough. I did make it through, and we are, you know, my stepdaughters and I are friends to this day, but it was very rough in the beginning. If you're a waitress, again, God bless you. I've been there, and I'll bet your feet hurt at night, and I'll bet you have to put up with some not so nice people. But you do it, and not just for the paycheck. You do it because you're good at it. Anything that you are doing right now, you are good at it, and you need to take pride in that. And you need to hold on to that and wear that as your badge on your clothes. This is who I am. And if anyone in this day and age says anything to you about any past abuse, they come up to you and say, you're a liar. You can stand up straight, put your shoulders back and say, be quiet. You weren't there. And turn your back and walk away with pride and dignity, as I have done numerous times. So the whole purpose of last week and the first part of this segment is I want you guys to start thinking about who you are today. And remember, I gave you the exercise last week about making a list of your achievements. And it's really important to do this, because if you discount any achievement, no matter how big or small, then you discount yourself. And then you are allowing yourself to be a victim again. So try to think about moving forward and stepping outside of thinking anything but the best about yourself. Now, I know we live in a society where, you know, we've got the influencers and we've got the you know, all the social media people and, you know, everybody on cable who has a show, a reality show, and all those kind of stars, as they call themselves. And it's hard to get past looking at these thin, beautiful, wealthy people and think, gosh, you know, what do I have? You have a lot. First of all, you have a lot more going than them because they couldn't get a real job. Okay. I mean, there would be no way any of these media types could actually hold down a job. And that's why they have to have these stupid shows, you know, making fools of themselves, because that's all they know. They couldn't be a waitress. They couldn't be a stay-at-home mom. They couldn't be a secretary. They couldn't be a nurse, because they'd actually have to have a life. They'd actually have to have some sense of self. So let's try and step away from anything that society may be throwing at us that makes us feel less than who we know we are. Okay? And if you have any self-doubt, then sit down, make that list of your accomplishments, and start living that. One of the things that I want to mention is that when I was 15, I got an honorable mention for competing in dancing on roller skates. This was before roller blades. So obviously, you know, I'm a little older than most of you probably listening. And I was disappointed because my partner and I didn't win a prize. And my partner was upset with me because he said, he's jumping up and down. He's saying, we got an honorable mention. We got the certificate. Oh my God. I think there was about 250 people that were competing. And at that time, at 15 years old, all I could see was the trophy that we didn't get. And my partner came up to me, his name was John, and he said, you know, we got to start practicing for next year. And I said, what for? All we got was an honorable mention. And he just turned away. And I went home and I had this discussion with my father, and my father said, I think an honorable mention is fantastic. And I was really bitchy about the whole thing. I said, my God, this is just junk. It's just a piece of paper. And I threw it across the room. And my father looked at me and he said, if you think that an honorable mention isn't a win, then I haven't done my job. And I looked at him and I said, what do you mean? He said, any accomplishment is a win if you finish. And you finished. He said, it doesn't matter if you would have been last. You still finished. And that's an accomplishment. I was embarrassed and humiliated. I didn't like disappointing my father. And the look on his face, you know, I could tell. In my 15-year-old mentality, I felt I had really let him down. And I think he was obviously more upset with himself, but at the time, I felt really bad. So I had to stop and think about it. And the next morning I got up and I picked up that certificate that was still laying on the floor in my bedroom, and I put it on the dresser, and I had to stop and think. Why did I feel like a loser? And I didn't have an answer. So I thought, well, you know, maybe John's right. My partner's right. You know, maybe we should start practicing. And so the next week we met at the roller rink, and I went up to him and I said, hey, John, you know, you're right. I think we need to start practicing. And John looked at me, gave me a hug, and he said, Paula, you're my good friend. He said, but I don't want you as a partner. And I said, what? And he said, you didn't think an honorable mention was a win. And I know it's a win. And until you know it's a win, I can't be partners with you. And that stung. It really stung. But he was right. And so, again, just that little segment of time, to this day now, it's an accomplishment. I turned that around. And in a lot of my coaching for traders and in my workshops, I bring this example up, because it doesn't matter how it started. It only matters how it finished. And in the end, obviously, John was right. My father was right. An honorable mention was a win. And so I began to learn what winning meant. So just think about that for a little bit as you make your list of accomplishments, as you write down your list of accomplishments. Again, it doesn't matter how large or small the accomplishment is, or when it happened, how long ago, or if it was yesterday. If you don't make a list of your accomplishments, you can't move forward to achieve even more. It's a simple exercise, guys. It's only going to take you a couple minutes. And trust me, like I said last week, you're going to have a lot of fun with it. Okay? So keep that in mind as we head into the break, and I'll be right back.
Paula T. Webb will be back with us in a moment. It's Your Finances on A Higher Power.
So, in a few moments ago, we talked about making a list of your accomplishments. And what we're going to do now is we've got a lot of the nuts and bolts out of the way the last couple weeks. So, let's move forward with some good techniques to start learning how you think about money and prosperity. And one of the best exercises to do this is to understand what you think about money is I want all of you at some point, or if you have your wallet near you right now, I want you to go to your wallet and I want you to take out some money out of your wallet. Not your debit card, not your credit card, but some actual cash. And I'm not going to tell you what kind of cash. You make a decision to take out some cash. All right? And if you don't have your wallet around you, you can do this later. So when you take out the money from your wallet, put it in front of you. If it's paper money, it doesn't matter if it's paper money or coins, you know, pick it up, look at it, feel it, touch it, connect to that money in front of you. Now, personally, I happen to think that paper money is very pretty, especially nowadays. I mean, years ago, U.S. currency, the paper currency was kind of bland, you know, all one color. And a lot of foreign currencies were really pretty with bright colors and vibrant writing and all that. But we've kind of caught up to the rest of the world. And our paper money is very pretty. I think it's pretty. The coins are coins. I mean, coins are pretty much just coins. But what that exercise is for, and I do this in every one of my workshops and my podcasts for traders. And I'm going to tell you, very few traders will ever do this exercise. In my live workshops, they'll usually laugh and look at each other, and no one will pull out any money. And I'd say, well, why wouldn't you pull out any money? So they had to stop and think about it. I'm like, all right, let's just say you pulled out some money. Let's say you pulled out a $1 bill. What does that mean? I don't know. Let's say you pulled out a quarter. What does that mean? I don't know. What if you pulled out a $20 bill? Well, I was just going to pull out a higher denomination than the guy sitting next to me. Okay, so now we've turned this into a competition. But one of the ways to start thinking prosperously is to connect with your money. Now, it doesn't matter whether you get paid in cash or you get a paycheck or it's direct deposit. The bottom line is we live in a world that's all electronic today. And so connecting to our money is a little more challenging because we are not necessarily using cash a lot of the time. You know, we'll use our debit card or we'll use a credit card. And then we may just pay our bills online. I don't do that. I still write checks because I'm connected to my money. So depending on the denomination that you take out of your wallet for this exercise, after you've taken that out, I want you to ask your questions, holding that money in front of you. Ask yourself the following questions. What do I think about this money in my hand right now? and write down your answer on your pad of paper. What do I think about this money I'm holding in my hand? Do I think it's dirty? Do I think it's evil? Do I think I don't have enough? Do I think I'll never have enough? Or do I just love it? And I'm very proud of the money I'm holding in my hand. Now, I'm just giving you an example of you know, four or five questions to ask yourself, because you have to start connecting to your money in a way where it's a part of you. Because if you're not connected to your money in a way that's part of you, then you can't grow it. You'll never get anywhere further than you are today. I know in a lot of my other podcasts, I explain how I love money. And then a lot of traders will come back to me and say, oh, well, you know, you're never going to get into heaven because, you know, wealthy men don't get into heaven. I didn't say I was wealthy. I said I love money. And I love money because I'm connected to the very outcome, the very fruits of my labors that I have worked 6-7 days a week for. And when I see my checking account balance go up, I'm very happy because that allows me to keep a roof over my head. It allows me to have a decent car. It allows me to maybe go out to a restaurant, you know, once a month with my friends. And more importantly, it allows me to give back to the community. Now, some of you may or may not know, I am a chaplain with the Riverside County Sheriff's Department. It's a volunteer position. I do not get paid. And I'm on call 24/7 to assist the deputies as needed. And I would not be able to do that if I was not connected to my money and if I was not currently and constantly and consistently growing my money. And I grow my money because I'm able to grow my money because I know I'm worth every penny I make. I earn it. And I love earning money. I love earning. I love working. And I'm sure you do too. So if you have any hesitance about thinking prosperously, start with the exercise I gave you here today. Take that money out of your wallet. Look at it, feel it, write down everything you think about the money. Write down everything you were taught about money, negative and positive. And then at the end of your list, keep whatever you think is going to help you move forward to growing your money. And then for the rest of it, which is outdated programming put in there by other people years ago, just say, okay, that old programming got me to where I am today. Thank you very much. You can leave now because now I want to go further. And then start thinking more prosperously. And we'll go over this more, you know, in the subsequent weeks, but I want to get you started to think about what it means to think prosperously and believe that God wants you to be prosperous. Absolutely. He wants you to be as prosperous as you want to be. But you have to help him help you. And the way you do that is by having positive beliefs about who you are, letting go of, you know, past bullying, past abuse, and knowing that you are worthy of every penny that comes your way. You are worthy because you are a child of God and he loves you. And he wants the best for you and the most. Whatever you want to achieve, he wants that for you. And he's waiting for you to work with him to do it together. Now, I hope this is making sense. And if not, you know, you can always contact me and I'll explain it further. Although, like I said, this is just the start and we're going to keep moving forward. So let's just say, I'm just going to give you one quote. There's a lot of people that say, money is the root of all evil. And they claim that's from the Bible. And it is not from the Bible. And it is also an incorrect quote. The correct quote was from George Bernard Shaw in the 1920s when he was speaking at a congregation of world leaders. And they were talking about, you know, why crime was increasing. And within the context of his speech, he said, the lack of money is the root of all evil. Now, I seem to think that that makes a heck of a lot of sense. Because, yes, if people don't have money, then, you know, it becomes critical for them. And they might tend to do something against the law to get what they need. So, but over the years, it's just kind of gotten plausible for people in the media to say that, to make sure that it's just another form of control so that we don't achieve our goals. It's nothing, you know, not a negative intent. It's just people just say it and they don't realize how limiting that can be. I don't believe that money is the root of all evil. As long as you keep it in motion and you are using it to enhance your life and possibly to give back to the community in whatever way you choose. And like I said, I do not have a conflict making money because I earn my money just like you do. And I know that God is blessing me by providing me with a brain and a heart to do what I love to do and to be here talking with you guys today, to give you the insight and the expertise that I have learned over this time. So again, just remember, God loves you. He wants everything for you. He wants everything that you want. So help him to help you, and you will be truly blessed every day forward. So hold that thought. Do the exercises I gave to you here today. We'll move on to bigger and brighter things. Okay, continuing with our discussion on prosperity, let's backtrack a little bit and let's look at where the word prosperity comes from. Some of you may already know I love Roget's Thesaurus. And if we look up the word prosperity, it derives from the Latin pro sper, to cause to prosper. In other words, fortune, the word fortune derives from prosper, which means to succeed, thrive, grow in a vigorous way. So it doesn't matter, you know, where it comes from, but although sometimes that's a lot of fun to find out. But I think most of us would agree that, you know, being rich or wealthy would equate to having a large amount of money in the bank. Being successful would most likely mean having a high-paying position at a prestigious firm, you know, being a consistently successful trader, and this would allow you to have at least one large home and expensive cars. But being wealthy might mean having more money than you could spend in your lifetime, right? So if we take a look at these three sentences that I said here today, what do those have in common? They all described things. What do I mean by that? A tangible thing, something you can touch, see, and feel. For instance, you can see all the money in your bank accounts in a monthly statement or online. You can touch any part of your home just by stepping through the front door. You can see your car or cars sitting in your driveway. So it doesn't matter where you live or what you drive. It's what you believe about those physical items in your life. All those terms we use to describe prosperity are all physical manifestations and representations of what we collectively accept in society as the definition of prosperity, correct? So how do we create all those outside, or rather physical representations of prosperity for ourselves inside in our mental environment as individuals? So, since most of us have the same basic ideas and definitions of success, how is it that some people have more than others? Why are some of us working so hard and yet can't seem to prosper, reach a financial plateau that we can't move past, But even more important, why don't we think or feel that we are prosperous in the moment? Right now. And it boils down to what you believe about prosperity and what you were taught about prosperity. Again, you know, many people think, you know, money is the root of all evil, and money doesn't grow on trees. You can't be too rich or too thin. And these are just all old adages that we were probably heard, you know, throughout the years, and we just thought really are meaningless, but they really have meaning because they were said to us not once, but multiple times, and by people we usually respected or who were in authority. And so that we have this underlying set of conflicting beliefs that, well, I can be as most successful person as I want to be, which are all of our parents tell us that, or most of our parents, and yet we've been taught money doesn't grow on trees, you know, you'll never be able to do that, you'll never make more than this amount of money by a boss. And so what we have to come to believe is you were created by God to be prosperous. But you have to determine what that means to you. I'll give you a good example of this. My late husband, Mark Douglas, and I were living in Arizona at this time, and we were in a house that was we were renting the house because we were just there for a couple of years. But it was a really nice house. It had 5 bedrooms, 4 baths, 2-story, 2-car garage, marble floors. I mean, the owner of the place had really jacked this house up like no tomorrow. Waterford, you know, crystal chandeliers, and it was on a lake. And so we did a workshop with a bunch of other speakers, and as usual, because I like to entertain, after the workshop was over, I had all the speakers over for dinner. And one of the speakers there, his name was Neil, and we'd known him for, I don't know, 20-some years at that time. He was a broker in Chicago. And after dinner was over, he went outside to go have a smoke, and he said, "Can I ask you a question?" And I said, "Sure." And he said, "You know, I'm really kind of disappointed because I don't, you know, see that you're really very, very prosperous." And I said, "What are you talking about?" And he said, "Look, you know, you just have this 3,500 square foot home and you don't have a big piece of property and so forth and so on." And I just looked at him and I said, "Well, how much larger of a home do you think 2 adults need? I mean, you know, come on. Okay, we got a couple cats, but, you know, Mark and I each had their own office. We got a guest room. We got the master bedroom. And then I have a work room for, you know, my sewing and my jewelry making. So how much bigger of a house do you think we need?" Well, he had a larger piece of property and he had all the toys, all the trappings of success. And unfortunately, he did not own any of that. Now, whereas Mark and I, we had no debt. We had a nice lifestyle, but we had no debt. That's the way we live our life. And unfortunately, Neil, you know, had payments every month, you know, mortgages. He had, you know, a boat and, you know, just expensive cars. And ultimately, the brokerage firm he worked for went under and he was wiped out. So my long-winded point here is that, again, you were created to be as prosperous as you want to be by our Heavenly Father. But we all have free will. And so you have to determine what being prosperous, what being successful means to you. And so you have to go back and you have to do some self-reflection and say, what is my definition of success? What is my definition of prosperity? What is my definition of wealthy? And write that down. And you have to start living your definitions. This is the way it works, guys. We can't live someone else's definition of prosperity. Now, you know, Neil was living his definition of prosperity by being overextended, you know, with a huge piece of property and, you know, multiple toys. And yet he ended up with nothing because he hadn't determined who he was when it came to being prosperous and successful and wealthy. So I don't want that to happen to you. And again, if I had not determined my definitions of prosperity, success, and wealth, personal wealth, I would not have been able to pull it back together again and be doing bigger and better than before after my husband died and I lost everything. If I didn't know who I was and I didn't know what God wanted for me, and if I didn't believe that God wanted me to be as prosperous as I want to be, then I wouldn't have been able to come back even stronger and better and with a clearer focus, because now I'm doing it all by myself. And you can too. You all can do this. So thank you for letting me share some more with you here today. Thank you for inspiring me to be inspiring for you.